All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, here we are in the back lots of Las Vegas at the slot machine graveyard.
Oh, is this where they put the ones that become sentient?
Yeah. Yeah. And Acclaim buys ads on all of them.
Ooh,
yeah. They become sentient. Some of them can just feel pain. They're not sentient exactly.
No. Okay.
You know?
I mean, some of them are just like they're licensed, but it's canceled licenses. So like there's the Paula Deen one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one here for Cop Rock. A bunch of them also took the one-armed bandit nickname really seriously and started holding people up.
Oh, yeah. You know? I like the idea of like the opposite of a jackpot where you hit it. It's just a bunch of skulls and then like a little panel opens up and a gun slides out.
Yeah, it just slides out and sticks into your gut. And then you just have to bet a lot. Yeah. You know, until it shoots you. So I've taken one of these slot machines here and taken it and filled it up with video game cartridges on flash drives.
Okay.
So you're going to go over here to the slot machine. The slot machine is called Wild Nines, and you're just going to pull the lever here until a game comes out of it.
Okie dokie. Yeah. I'm just going to pull this lever, even though most of them have buttons.
Ow, ow, ow.
What?
Don't touch me.
Wait, is there somebody in there?
No.
No, I hear a voice. Gary, are you hearing this?
Oh, God, it's sentient.
No,
don't touch it. Wild Nine, what are you doing? Would you like to join our gang?
Yes, affirmative.
Oh, this is great. We finally have a robo buddy.
I love you.
Come on, Wild Nine. Let's go on adventures.
Yeah, hooray. Oh, look, he's got little legs.
I have legs.
Oh, look at him go.
Yeah, he is moving real fast.
Time to party.
Oh, shit.
He's a party robot. I love it.
He's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
I'm a pyro.
What's that, Wild Nine?
Let's start fires.
No,
Wild Nine, no.
We start parties, not fires, Wild Nine.
The roof is on fire, literally.
Goddamn, Wild Nine. All right, cool. Here's a revolver. Take him to the shore.
Where are we going,
big buddy?
I'm taking you to the slot machine graveyard, buddy. Yeah. I'm so sad. I wanted a new character, but we can't have him.
We are friends. Where are we going?
Nope. No, just think.
Tell me about rabbits.
Nope. Pow.
Oh, he's dead. Oh, yeah. Jackpot, though. He's spilling it, baby.
Yeah. It's all just Wild Nine. It's just the shiny game, Wild Nine.
He converts games into himself.
He propagates. Wait, these aren't game cartridges. They're eggs.
he's sentient and can create life.
I can, and I am bulletproof.
Oh, fuck.
He's back, baby.
Run.
The party will never end.
And neither will this intro.
Yeah.
We don't have that much to talk about with the game.
No.
Be thankful for long intros.
I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
I am Wild Nine.
And welcome to Abject Suffering. And by the power invested in me by the Commonwealth of Game Facts, I now pronounce you a gamer.
The way that you kind of mush mouth that made it sound like you said by the Commonwealth.
I know. I was switching back and forth this blindingly fast character work. I'm no Andrew Daly. And I just going back between myself and covering my mouth so Wild Nine is hard to understand.
Okay.
It just really threw off my rhythm.
Oh, wait, that was you?
Well,
podcast magic.
Mm.
It was who?
So this was a demand. This was demanded by Adam, who says, I don't think this I don't think this was a bad game, but it was definitely of its time. I don't know how I ended up with it as a kid, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone talk about it before or since. So I'm curious to hear what you all think. It's kind of definitionally meh.
I don't like a shinies thing.
Right.
I don't MDK, Enter the Matrix, Earthworm Jim. Like I played some MDK 2 on Dreamcast, like in the house, in the party house or whatever we were in. Like we played that to completion. And I had a reasonably, a fine time with it. But in general, I think that their games are weird and bad.
Yeah. This forms kind of a weird pair with the Shadow Man, talking about Valiant Comet kind of things, because Shiny, you listed a bunch of stuff, but like, throwing in MDK in there as well, their whole kind of steez is incredibly of its time, is very 90s, kind of like hyper grotesque character designs, pulling from noted bigot Doug Tenapple for kind of a house style. Kind of leaning into hyperviolence in a way that is intended to feel like little stinker kind of stuff, but it feels the very opposite of joyful to me.
This is not
a joyful violence.
It's too oily to me. Like this was even true of Earthworm Jim as a kid. Like it was kind of fun because it looked like a cartoon.
Yeah.
But it looks like it would be like if you were actually there, it would be like the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Like everything would be wet. The old Mario Brothers movie, like everything is just kind of like slimy and gross to them. I also am frustrated by the reevaluation that happened with that Enter the Matrix game,
which
I remember really disliking. And then a lot of people were like, now that Matrix fever has taken over the world again, are just real into. And it's, I don't know. I played that at the time. It fucking sucks. Also, Earthworm Jim sucks. Not trying to, I know that it's a game a lot of people have a lot of nostalgia for. It's not a good video game.
It is again a very 90s thing, over animated to its detriment. It does not feel good in the hands. The platforming is very bad. The kind of ornate irregular level surfaces are you don't want that in a platformer. You want the boundaries to be very clearly defined. Enemies are visually designed, not designed for play, so you get a bunch of fucked up little guys, but not in the good way, like very specifically designed for you to shoot under or over. Just real, just nothing but friction.
I don't know why Earthworm Jim decided to be hard as hell.
Right.
Like, that's a really difficult video game. It's like Battletoads difficult for reasons I don't understand.
Right.
It's the third level is like this very long escort mission, and then obviously is made by a monster. And it gameplay wise informs a lot of what I associate with shiny.
Yeah.
Entertainment. So like this is plays a little bit better, but it has that imprecision built in, through choosing to be a 2.5D. Kind of platformer. Like the idea of you using a grappling gun as your only weapon through this game is a cool idea.
But really all that they have, and this is like this is what they sold it on, torture your enemies. Really all you're doing is, they didn't evaluate whether or not the primary way to kill people would be fun, which is you grab them and then you have to do little semicircles to make your guy slam the enemy back and forth. There's no like throwing them. It's just like, all right, I will gently lower you into this grinder, I guess, or I will bring you, I will slowly carry you over to this energy barrier that's going to vaporize you, that kind of stuff. It's like, oh yeah, we have a physics model. We've got, this way to basically kill enemies without shooting them, because you don't have a gun. Yeah. You've got a missile launcher with limited ammo. And it's just like, oh yeah, no, doing this hundreds of times over the course of however many hours this game is, like, there are incredibly diminishing returns, even within the first level, tactically. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Like, if it were every once in a while you could do it as a bonus, it would be fun.
Yeah.
you know, if it's a little bit of expressive play, but it's not.
Yeah. And kind of a subplot of Aptric suffering over these 10 years and change has been taking my oft-repeated maxim of any game with a grappling hook in it is inherently good, which yes. is obviously made with tongue in cheek, but it is putting the lie to that as frequently as possible.
Yeah. The only time that's actually been true is with Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Were really just thinking of Home Improvement every single time you said that.
I was, yeah. And, you know, like, no game has done grappling hooks right. You know, the only way to do grappling hooks right, I believe, you know, and I'm just talking in, you know, in 2D, is if your grappling hook can work on everything. I would say the grappling hook in Super Metroid, bad grappling hook. It's not very good. Like, no. It is not actually, like, additive. It is the illusion of a grappling hook.
It has, like, no range as well.
Yeah.
That's a pretty lame grappling hook. Yeah. Grappling hooks are tough. Like, in 3D, it's actually weirdly easier. Mm-hmm. You know what game has a hell of a grappling hook, even though you should never play it? Dying Light.
Oh, yeah.
They give it to you in the second half of the game when I would defy anyone to still be interested in that story and gameplay loop. Yeah. But you get a grappling hook, and it's real fun.
Yeah.
Like, it is fun to use.
There's a fun, if it's ever on sale and you're looking for just, like, a fun arcade game, pick up Cyberhook, I think is it's called. Yeah, that owns. I love Cyberhook.
That looks real cool.
Yeah.
One of the things I've thought about is if I owned a grappling hook, like, it, you know, before bed, I daydream a lot. That's how I go to sleep. Yeah. You know, I put myself in situations, and if it's a bad day, they're bad situations, you know, but if it's a neutral or better day, then I just kind of try to think up stuff. You know, just until I fall asleep. And I've thought about being in front of a building and I have a grappling hook, you know, I guess I'm thinking of myself as one of those mobile games where, you know, you choose the object to solve the problem.
Okay. You know,
I get myself a grappling hook. I think I could throw it up on top of a building. That's it.
Yeah.
Then I would just have a rope on the side of a building and I could pull on it, but nothing would happen. I cannot get myself up that rope.
Nope.
The grappling hook would do nothing for me.
No. You know,
if I had that kind of upper body strength, I don't think I would need a grappling hook. I would just be hanging out in a fucking island paradise surrounded by beautiful women.
I could get all the babes who would be hanging off of me to do whatever I needed to do.
Yeah. I would just create a pyramid of beautiful babes to climb up to the top of the roof and break in or do whatever I was going to do up there.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I don't think that grappling hooks have ever been intended for the kind of, you know, basically the way that video games have portrayed them. I think it has mostly been to grab onto something and bring it to you.
Okay.
Or, you know, either that or, like, if it's actual climbing gear to, like, throw across a span. In order to, you know, like latch onto something at the other. Yes, precisely.
Yeah.
And even that, like, you got that's got to be like a real kind of last minute thing because you got no idea how solid that is. Can't inspect it with your eyes.
It's one of the it really grappling hooks are very interesting because it is one of the easiest things for a kid to make. Like, in terms of stuff you see on TV and adventuring things, you can make a grappling hook, like a toy grappling hook.
Yeah.
Or, you know, an amateur grappling hook very easily. However, it is one of the least practical things that I've ever been. It's the positive equivalent of quicksand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I'm looking at a number of grappling hooks on Amazon right now. Collapsible, not collapsible, you know, painted black, sometimes they're silver, with cord, sometimes without cord. None of these are passing the $45 mark.
Yeah. I don't know whether I trust.
No. I don't know what it would take for me to trust a grappling hook. Weight issues aside.
I would lose 150 pounds and then maybe if I was, you know, if I was a svelte, like Nick could trust a grappling hook. You know, Nick is tight.
Even taking that out of concern, you know, to say, okay, is this assume ideal weight, you know, et cetera. Like, you're not just like throwing the grappling hook and then hanging from it. Everything you're going to be doing is applying force. Like,
yes,
if you are doing any swinging, If you're doing any climbing, like that is going to be putting like rotational force on the bits and joints and stuff. Like that's what's going to get you, not just the holding capacity. You know, notwithstanding, even like if you have an ideal anchor, there are just a lot of things to keep it to keep track of on that. Honestly,
a lot of
different failure points on a grappling hook.
It just seems like a bad invention to me.
Yeah,
I'm watching a YouTube right now, how to use a grappling hook. Just to see some like real life people using a grappling hook.
No.
And it's just climbing a rope. It's just insane upper body strength. Yes. And now they're doing some random parkour. cool. So they've even given up on the grappling hook. A guy just ran up, jumped and turned around in the air like you do when you're a little kid. And that was it. I'm like, fuck this shit. There's no grappling hooks involved anymore. You've all given up on this.
Even they got bored and started doing more fun stuff in a video about the thing.
I looked up a YouTube for techniques for nunchaku, and it starts with that, and then a guy shows me his bong, which is what happens when you actually the real life thing. If somebody's going to show you nunchaku techniques,
yeah. Points for realism.
Yeah.
do you want to know what YouTube search isn't disappointing for it, just in the realm of childhood weapon fascinations?
Okay.
I was sitting at home the other day and I was waiting for something to like export or whatever, and I was like, you know what, I've never actually seen how a boomerang works in real life.
Oh, sure.
Because like, you know, obviously there's something to it. The myth comes from somewhere. Like, I got toy boomerangs and tried throwing them, and you can throw them pretty far, but they don't come back, or they will like do a little dog leg and end up like 20 feet right of where you threw them.
Yeah. They have all of the magical special abilities of an object.
Yes. Of an object.
It has mass. You can throw it.
Yeah. Like, I was like, you know, best possible conditions, like somebody who really knows what they're doing, like, how does this actually look? That YouTube search fucking slaps, dude.
Yeah,
there's a whole world of this. Like there are national teams. There is a U.S. national boomeranging team.
So what is boomeranging done for accuracy or for the return?
Oh, it's a whole thing.
Okay.
Like there, you know, and there's like different metrics. Like there are different competitions that are done. Like, what are you looking for? Are you looking for maximum hang time? Right.
Yeah, sure.
Are you looking for like the most, you know, you've got to throw it and then catch it with your feet? You know, like the wildest pose you can be doing, you know, like, you know, gymnastically while you're catching it out of the air, you know, while you're in the air. Like there are all kinds of different like categories of boomeranging.
Huh.
And this is all notwithstanding the fact that there is no standard boomerang that is used, or there are categories with standard boomerangs, but they're also like, hey, man, if you can bring it and you throw it and it comes back. So like you're watching them like carving these things, like maximize, okay, like we're designing this to do this very particular thing. It's fucking wild, dude.
That is really wild. That makes me think that somebody, it's like ripe for a Professor Frink to come in with like an automatic boomerang, like a drone boomerang.
Oh, you mean a cheater, Gary?
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody could cheat at this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I could just like secretly throw it to a guy and he could throw it back to me. Yeah, like, oh, God, it came back perfectly.
There's no regulation, you know? So like, of course that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I do? You know what I would do? I would carve holes in it so it whistled.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would sharpen the sides of their blades.
Yeah.
So it can't be caught.
Yeah,
be like, you don't want it to come back.
Be like Yuffie from Final Fantasy.
I'd be exactly like Yuffie. That's what I'm going for here. Looking at Boomerang also brings up the Primus video for Winona's Big Brown Beaver. So,
oh, I haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah. Huh. The Boomerang stuff. It's been a minute since we've done any kind of tube talking or anything. I have found a bunch of new YouTubes to subscribe to. I was thinking about bringing this up on Quacksack, but I wanted to mention it now.
Okay.
Here I found this guy called Vampire Robot.
What?
So it's just a name. Ignore the name.
Okay.
It's somebody who, as near as I can tell, there's no about, this is just what I'm guessing, bought from like an estate sale or something an old TV network's entire archive of B-Reel. So all they do is post videos that are like hanging out at the mall in 1998.
Oh, and it's just
what a mall looks like, or, you know, Christmas shopping at Macy's in 1991, staying up late to play Nintendo with your friend in 1992. It made me want to cry. It absolutely fucked me.
No, like this is what is this pain in my stomach?
Because before I figured out that it was B-Real, and to give credit, like, I didn't figure it out. My wife did. She's smarter than I am. I was just like, this is a trap. Like, this is here to kill me. Uh-huh. I am here to get joy-canned into this and just watch this and just feel this pang in my stomach of, like, you know, opening day at Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, you know, reaction, B-Real. And just, or like old theme parks.
You know what?
You know,
I saw this. Yeah. Somebody, this was going around on Twitter. They're like the reactions to Jaws, the reactions to Return of the Jedi, like just these incredibly thin, happy looking people just gushing over how amazing this movie was. But like, oh, inside a Burger King in 1969.
Yeah. People shopping at Kmart in 1992. I'm so, you know, there are many ways, like, you know, you talked about the 10-year project of Abject Suffering, mm-hmm. and it being about grappling hooks. The other thing is, I think it's about us getting old, because, you know, it's the show where we, you know, we talk about what's on our mind, and what's on our mind is the decay of our bodies and minds.
Right.
You know, nonstop. Uh-huh. So I know that I'm very old. Part of it is like, I'll go to a bar and they'll play a bunch of, like, you know, late 90s, 2000s music. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is music from 20 years ago. This mm-hmm. is for me. I'm the target audience for this fucking shitty boomer, you know, bar, hipster bar. Mm-hmm. This kind of thing. Also, I am so weak to just seeing clothing. Like, oh, look at this red Kmart vest.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. That's literally all it takes. And then I die a little bit. I get one step closer to the grave.
Yeah,
this is a powerful new weapon in the aging wars against myself.
Joy Can is a good way to put it. Well, I mean, so I forget, we've not talked about it on air really, but like, it's probably worth mentioning just in case anybody else goes to like a similar show to the Midwest Gaming Classic, and maybe this will be set up. Mm-hmm. We both felt this. We both walked into, like, if somebody wanted to, like, I don't know, drug us and, you know, like, abduct us, they probably could have just having that World of Nintendo thing set up, like a theme park thing, like literally just the back of this museum kind of area. It's this own little sectioned off thing where it is just recreating a Nintendo store or like a Nintendo display, like, corner.
Yeah. Like a JCPenney. Game Boy display.
Yeah, with all of the like original demo machines, like you recognize, you know, there's that one SNES demo station that you played Star Fox on, you know, that has the little controller things. The Game Boy display with the where you can see what's happening on a CRT. Above it, you know, and then just the display case and all of the signage and stuff, like,
yeah,
it, like, just all original stuff presented as it would have looked. And I just walked in there and my knees went unpinned, like, I fell over and started convulsing.
It's exactly the Skinner gets short-circuited by Ralph's science fair project.
Being just chewy.
Yeah. just all Star Wars figures in the original packaging.
Yeah.
You know, and he just loses all of his executive function, you know. It's the exact same thing. Like, one of the things I was thinking about, because again, daydreaming before bed, I was thinking about a time, one of the things I've thought about with a time machine before, uh-huh. is that, like, if I had a time machine, I would go back and kill Hitler. Every piece of fiction says you shouldn't do that, shouldn't mess with the timeline, but I don't know. I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody's tried it. Yeah, that'd be great. That's a lot of people who wouldn't die ordinarily. Like, you know, you don't got to hand it to Hitler anyway. But then I realized that, like, in my absolute darkest heart of hearts, the real thing I would do is take $3,000 and go to a mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in 1992 and buy everything I wanted as a kid. Yeah. And that fucking sucks, but it's true. I'm watching right now Christmas shopping at Toys R Us in 1991, and she's at the display where they're showing the Super Nintendo and, like, the original launch lineup.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm just like, with these $79.99 NES is complete in box. And I'm just like, fuck, man. I'd like to own all of this stuff. I would go back and live like a king, a pathetic, pathetic fucking king. Like, absolute king of the dorks.
My goal would be to go back in time and impress 10-year-olds.
Yeah. And do the things I wanted to do as a kid and then come back and then feel kind of hollow until I could do it again.
Yeah.
Probably. You know?
God. Gary, I'm looking at one right now. Inside a Circuit City on 9/11.
Yeah, that's
it's all these crying people.
All these dads sitting around watching the TV. They all look like they're extras from Tim and Eric. Like they're all on the minivan highway.
Oh, the cell phone holsters.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is a very, very good find. My God,
it's really, really compelling. Yeah. You can lose a lot of time to Vampire Robot on YouTube.
Yeah. I think our relationship, like just not just everybody on Earth, but like, I think like you and I, our relationship with nostalgia has changed a lot over the course of over the course of the past 10, 12 years at this point too. You know, I think that we both were kind of skeptical of it because like, okay, what are you trying? Like, what are you... What's your game here? What are you doing? What are you covering up by appealing to this? Right. It's worth being wary of that when it is like an appeal being especially made. But like, I don't know, something like this, I can't pretend to not feel what I feel. And I can at least be genuine when say like, I cannot pretend to be above it.
The way I think about it, so I thought about that a lot, you know,
yeah.
And I still think that instead of, you know, my skepticism and nostalgia going away, it's just kind of become more focused.
Yeah.
Like something appealing to my nostalgia, you know, by evoking old stuff still feels like marketing, you know, like things like that. And I don't feel, you know, the original way that came out in the network was playing old games and not having them hold up.
Yes.
And that still happens. Like, I still think that old media that I liked as a kid, some of it really fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. Every cartoon I loved was dog shit. Yep. It was all just designed to like sell me toys. But now what has happened is I still have the skepticism nostalgia, but a rise of appreciation of ephemera has come up.
Yeah.
So, you know, so now when I get nostalgic, it's not because I want to watch, you know, Kindergarten Cop and enjoy it the same way as it is a kid. I want to see a real weird specific ad for Kindergarten Cop that I saw all the time in my periphery.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about consuming. It's not really even about the media. When I think about this, like Toys R Us thing, going back there and buying a launch era Super Nintendo, I can play every one of those games anytime I want. It's not, and those are still, and a lot of them are still good. Like I like that, but that's not the point. It's not the content. It's like, it would be opening up the box. It would be the experience of it. It'd be like walking through the halls.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of fleeting little bits of life that happen between actual bits of art and consumption. That is what I've gained a lot of appreciation for, I think.
It would be grabbing the ticket off of the wall at Toys R Us and taking it up to the register and watching them go get the game.
It wouldn't be playing Shatterhand. It would be grabbing the Shatterhand ticket. You know, it wouldn't, you know, and that is something that I'm at peace with. Like having that nostalgia feels fine to me.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel forced.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I just, so much of our approaches can't pretend to be somebody I'm not. Like it would be wildly uncool for me to pretend that I am above this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I am not above this.
No.
By any means. This group of people watching 9/11 are sure having a bad time.
You asshole. I'm gonna die. Oh man, I'm gonna send this YouTube channel, Chris, my brother would really appreciate this.
Phenomenal. Welcome to the fold. Yeah. That's so good. You know what? This is neither here nor here there. And we're at the end of the episode and I have to eat some lunch, you know?
Okay.
So I don't want to go fully into it, but, a fun difference between you and Will, in podcasting, you know, I get something out of all the people I podcast with, like I had different relationships with you, and it's fun, different dynamics, but like, I thought I said something very funny during the most recent Everything to Guppy.
Okay.
That was a rich playground of riff stuff. And Will just shut me down harder than he's ever shut me down.
Oh, no.
Before. And I just had this feeling you wouldn't do this. So I wanted to run it by you and expose this idea that I think is very funny to more people.
You want a second chance.
Okay. I want a second chance. Okay. The idea was Gwyneth Paltrow of Goop.
Okay.
She's got all of her yoni eggs. You know how she'll put an egg?
The jade egg. Yeah.
Yeah, the jade egg into her vagina. She keeps a basket of her yoni eggs and she puts them out on the windowsill to cool. And some neighbor. See, it's already very funny. And Will was fucking stonewalling me. And then in my mind. Because we were talking about Fallout, and it was like a bunch of neighborhood scamps replace one of them with a stealth boy, and then she puts it in, and she can turn invisible, and it leads to all kinds of fun adventures because she had a stealth boy yoni egg. And I was like, that's a powerful phrase.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the windowsill to cool was a funny detail. I was very happy with this digression, and Will just fucking no-sailed me.
I'm picturing a pervert being lifted up by the smell line. Yeah. You know, like it's a pie. Yeah, like, just being dragged there.
Now, Homer,
through the air.
Don't you grab these yoni eggs?
Yeah.
Like it was brutal. Yeah. I just never been shut down for something I thought was really funny so hard.
Huh.
Yeah, what an asshole. Yeah. I just, you know, and then the kid just be like, "Well, get old lady Paltrow."
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I was pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just paint a regular egg, shiny to look like one of those. She puts it up there and it cracks.
Just has a chick. You know,
just a little beeper comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of cool switcheroos you can do with a basket of yoni eggs cooling on a windowsill. And I just like, I don't know, man. You get a hijinks, you get Dennis the Menace, or you get Tom Sawyer up in there messing with it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But the sense that I get, and there have been a lot of assumptions about Will that I've had that you have shot down.
Yes.
But like the sense that I get from when we you know, I have been on with him, and when we've been on together, he's not necessarily as crass is the wrong word, but like I don't think he goes in for gross out stuff like the two of us can.
Well, he does, but he's. Part of his characterization, I think, is that he pretends to be above it and then he'll throw something out.
Yeah, you know? I can totally see that. Yeah. Yeah. There are certain social contexts where I play that role. Like I am not down there with the flamethrower. I'm the sniper. Right.
Yeah.
I'm above it, but I can be really effective when I decide to throw it. Yeah.
Yes. He's similar to that. Like he does in some ways. I think the other thing that is at work. Though, when I give him the benefit of the doubt, is that because he's an entertainment writer and is held to higher standards than we are.
Okay. Yeah.
If it's about a real person, he has to be careful because, like, that's a stove, and he gets yelled at because if he wrote that about Gwyneth Paltrow, somebody might get real mad at him and it might be libel. You know, whereas I can just be like, "Oh, it was a yoni egg in Minecraft. It's fine. Whatever."
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That makes sense too. Yeah. Yeah.
So not trying to throw Will under the bus. I really wanted to get that idea of yoni eggs cooling on a windowsill.
We got at least five solid premises out of that.
Yeah, it feels very rich to me. You know, I don't know. Yeah. And I like the idea of Gwyneth Paltrow getting the power to turn invisible and using it to do something. You know, I don't know what yet.
Crash into old men on the ski slopes of Utah.
Yeah. Become a vigilante though, who only crashes into old men who deserve it.
Yeah,
you know, like the Punisher. She gets a little skull and crossbones on her skis, turns invisible, and then it's just like the Phantom Skier. You know? Oh yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, that's all.
Any other bits that bombed that you want a second chance on here?
No, man. That's the only one. But I was very disappointed in that one. So
did I give you what you need?
Yeah,
do you feel better about yourself now?
Well, it's not just you; it's the audience as well.
Okay.
I was doing it for listeners who are going to give me what I need, and all I needed was, and I literally the only thing I needed was acknowledgement. Like, no, you're not having a stroke. That is a funny idea.
There is a space here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I needed. I wasn't looking for attaboys. Like, you are a funny person. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with how funny I am. I just felt it was like more like I was feeling, you know, what color of dress is this to you?
Yes.
You know, yeah. It felt like a reality. I needed a reality check.
Gotcha. You know? Gotcha.
Yeah. So thank you for providing.
This is probably the least we've talked about the game. We didn't even go over the premise. We just said grappling hook bat.
Yeah, it's you know, and unfortunately we're out of time. Like I now have to eat lunch and I take a shit. So I'm sorry about this.
Sorry, Adam.
Hopefully it was good and funny for you. Check out that YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you don't have to go back. That YouTube channel is called Vampire Robot.
Yes. Don't think you're going to get vampires or robots.
Yeah.
Because you're not.
It's kind of like when you told me to ignore the name of the speedrun YouTuber, Tomato Anus.
Yeah. Who has gotten like shout outs with other runners. There's a guy called Waifu Runs, which is also an awful name, but just talks about Resident Evil and they're really interesting.
Huh.
Talks about Resident Evil speedruns. And I've been learning about Resident Evil 4 remake skips because that kind of stuff is interesting to me, even though I never do it.
Yeah.
Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you. And we appreciate you, Adam. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You can be like Adam and you can go to patreon.com/duckvtv and back us. I will let you know if you ever wanted to demand a game, the line is as short as it's ever been.
Yeah. Short line. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it won't always be about just whatever bullshit. Like sometimes we'll talk about the game. Hopefully no hard feelings there.
Yeah. I think Adam knows what this show is.
Yeah, I like to think so. You can also leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, or anywhere you get podcasts. And I'd like to give a big shout out to Gwen, our producer.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah.
What should they do until next time?
Find a lozenge or something, because laughing about 9/11 really took it out of your throat.